This morning, I'm going to invite you to turn with us to the book of 1 John and the 5th chapter. 1 John and the 5th chapter, and preach to you this morning out of this passage of Scripture. I'll be honest with you, there's probably 5 weeks worth of sermons in 1 John chapter number 5, but I wanted to kind of bring this sermon series to a close with Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday upon us. I wanted to be able to preach on those things individually as they come. And so we'll kind of bring this thought of assurance to a close this morning and do so by preaching out of 1 John chapter 5. If you're in the 5th chapter and you want to stand and stretch your legs for a minute, I'll invite you to do so. Let's read a few verses right in the middle of the chapter, and then you leave your Bible open and we'll develop our thought from other passages as we move along. But we'll just read a few verses for the sake of time. Let's begin those in verse number 7. The Bible says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believed not the record that he gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son." Father, help us this morning as we preach. God, use us as we try to speak to this congregation of believers. God, anoint us with the Holy Ghost, we ask in Jesus' name. And amen. You can be seated. Several weeks ago, I started preaching through the book of 1 John, and I did so under the sermon title or series of assurance. Over the last several chapters, John has given us many indications and proofs of salvation. He has told us that a true believer will have desire to walk in fellowship with God. He has told us that a true believer will love other believers. That is a great sign of true salvation. John has even warned us about those antichrist that would try to steal our assurance away. And when we come to the last chapter, chapter number 5, it is almost like John begins one final time to stress to us some things that we can know for sure. If there's ever a chapter on assurance, it is the 5th chapter of 1 John. The 5th chapter is almost given to us in almost like a bullet point format. John just gives us one right after the other. Things that we can know, assurances that we can have as the children of God. These are things that we do not have to worry about. They are things that we do not have to wonder about. These are things that we can be assured of. Can I say, in a day and hour in, where everything is questioned, we need some things that we can be assured of. We live in a day and hour that the people of our world are like the men of Athens that Paul ministered to in Acts 17. The Bible said they spent all day long talking about and thinking about and hearing about something new. They were questioning everything. And that's the day we live in. We ask the question, what is life all about? What happens to me when I die? What is my purpose here? Is there life on other planets? Does God really exist? Do I really exist? We ask questions, on and on they go. Everybody's a deep thinker, and everybody wants to learn something new. Everybody has a question. But in a world of questions, there are some things that we do not have to question. The Bible said in Romans chapter 3, verse 4, "God forbid, yea, let God be true and every man a liar." There's some things that God tells us in the pages of the Word of God that we do not have to doubt. We do not have to wonder, and we do not have to question. These are things that we can know. And I want to preach for a few minutes on this thought today. Some things that I know. Some things that I know. Now I'm going to mess you note takers up, because I've got 5 points this morning instead of 3. In fact, I told them last night, sitting in the living room. I said, I've got 5 points this morning. And Caroline's response was, oh, well, I don't know. We'll see. But I've got five quick things I want to show you out of 1 John chapter number 5. Some things that I know, some records that I know are true. Write this down. Number one, I know it's true, the record of God's Son. The record of God's Son. John says in 1 John chapter number 5 and verse number 9, he said, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that of his Son. John begins by testifying that the record of God's Son is true. What is the record of God's Son? It is the record that Jesus Christ was who he claimed to be. Jesus Christ was God. That is the record that God has given to us in chapter number 5. We have talked about up to this point the importance of being correct in our view of Jesus Christ. In fact, John says that it is an incorrect view of Christ that makes one an antichrist. There are many that claim that he was a good man, or maybe some even claim he was a false man. But John says the record of Jesus Christ, the proof of Jesus Christ is true. Can I testify to you this morning that Jesus was the Son of God? Jesus Christ was God. He was God in the flesh. He was 100% man, but at the same time, he was 100% God. He was God. You say, why is that so important? I'll tell you in just a minute, but let me give you a sneak peek. Spoiler alert. It is important that we believe he is the Son of God because it is that belief that brings us salvation. If you do not believe that Jesus was the Son of God, you cannot, nor are you saved. But oh, friend, if you believe that he is who he said he was, hey, that is the belief. That is the faith. That is the thing that gives you salvation. And he is who that he said that he was. He is God. Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. John said there are many proofs of this. He said there's three that bears record in heaven, verse 7. He said the Father and the Word and the Holy Ghost. That heavenly trio all agree in one, and they all come together in acknowledgement and say, yes, he was who he said that he was. He was God. But then John said there's three that bears record in the earth. He said they are the Spirit and the water and the blood. Can I say that all three of these testify that Jesus was the Son of God? You say, preacher, what are the Spirit, the water, and the blood? Well, I'd like to tell you, I believe the water testified that he was the Son of God. You say, what was the water? Do you remember the day that Jesus Christ went down into the River Jordan? He went down to that water to be baptized of John. And as John baptized him in the water, something amazing happened. Heaven opened up and a voice could be heard that said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And then the Spirit like a dove descended and landed upon him. And God the Father and God the Son baptized, as Jesus was baptized in that water that day, they testified and said, he is who he said he was. He is God. The water testifies that he is the Son of God. Hey, not only the water, but the blood. You know what the blood is? The blood is Calvary. Jesus, just shortly to Calvary, was telling his disciples about crucifixion day. And Jesus said this. He said, Father, I want your name to be glorified. And God responded and said, it has been glorified and it will be glorified again. And his name was glorified. God the Father was glorified. When Jesus walked up Calvary and he spread his hands open and they crucified him there, as the blood ran off his face and as the blood ran down his body and as the blood dripped on the ground and down that cross, hey, that blood screamed out, he is real, He is who he said he was. He is glorifying God because he is God. Hey, when that happened, when that blood was shed, the earth shook. The veil of the temple was rent. The sky turned to darkness. You know what that was? That was all of creation testifying. The blood is telling you who he was. He is the Son of God. And then he said, there's that great witness of the Spirit. The Spirit is the greatest proof. You know, one of the greatest proofs that we can have of something to be real or to be false is an eyewitness. You know what every good prosecuting attorney wants to have? They want to have at least a couple good eyewitnesses. Somebody that saw what happened and can testify under oath that what happened was true, that it was real. They saw it with their own eyes. Can I say there's only one that is still active and around today that was active and around when Jesus was around? It wasn't you. It wasn't me. It was the Holy Ghost. He was there in Jesus' day, and he is here in this day, and the Spirit is an eyewitness. He's the best testimony we could get, and he says, truly, indeed, this was the Son of God. Hey, I'm telling you, there's one inside of each of us, if we are saved, that testifies to our soul that Jesus was God. Who he said is of men, but the witness of God is greater. Why don't you believe him? Jesus was God's only Son. Amen. He was who he said he was. I can know that. You say, why is that so important? I told you just a minute ago. It is important because it is our belief that he was the Son of God that saves us. Davina and I were having a conversation in the car yesterday talking about salvation and talking about faith. And I told her this. I said, do you realize a salvation? Paul said in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, he said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God did what? Raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. You know what Paul said? He said, it is your belief that Jesus was God, that he died for the sins of the world, that God got him up 3 days later. It is that belief, and it is that belief alone that brings salvation. Amen. Paul said in Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 8, he said, for by grace are you saved through faith, right? Faith in what? Faith that Jesus was who he said he was. You believe the record of God. You believe that it's true. You believe that he was God's Son. And if you believe that story, I've got good news. Hey, you call out to God and he will save you. Amen. That's exactly right, friend. Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And God's Son died for the sins of the world. And you can be saved by believing that record. You know, something I'm sure of, something I know, something that I have no doubts about. I have no doubt the record of God's Son. I believe it, don't you? Number two, not only do I believe the record of God's Son, but number two, I believe the record of salvation. I believe the record of salvation. Look at verse number 11, please. The Bible says, and this is the record that God hath given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Oh, there it is again. It's all about the Son again, isn't it? Hey, verse 12 makes that even more clear. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Not only does the Holy Spirit witness that Jesus is the Son of God, but he gives witness that we are saved. Amen. You see, God not only gives us the witness of his Son, but he gives the witness to his sons. He testifies to me and he testifies to you that we have been saved. These verses tell us why it is so important that we believe the record of God's Son. It is the record of God's Son that brings us salvation. In fact, the first five verses of chapter 5 tell us that a person who believes Jesus Christ is born of God. That's the way it starts the chapter out. Verse number 1, you believe Jesus Christ, you are the Son of God. You know what that means to me, and you know what that means to you? It means that if we believe that record, we do not have to have a defeated soul. Say, so how is that true, preacher? Well, drop down from verse 1. I want to say to verse number 4. Is it 4 that gives us victory? This is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. Is that verse 4? I believe it is. You see, that belief that He's the Son of God gives me victory in my soul this morning. And I can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I've been born again, that I've been saved, that I am God's child. I can know that because I've believed the record. Amen. Amen. That's right, friend. Hey, let me tell you something. In case you did not know, the devil would love for you to have doubts, and he would love for you to have discouragement. Because if you have doubt and you have discouragement, it won't be long till you find yourself defeated. And if you are doubting and discouraged and defeated, that means you are going to be able to do absolutely nothing for God. Amen. You can't do anything. And you know how I know? I've been there. I've been in doubts and I've been in discouragement and I've felt defeat. And when you feel that way, you feel like you can't do anything for God. Amen. Amen. Hey, you're no good to anybody else. And let's just be honest, you're not even any good to yourself. Amen. But you do not have to be defeated. You do not have to be doubting. You do not have to be discouraged. Hey, you can be delivered in your soul. You can have victory in your soul because you know that you've believed that record. Hey, you can have victory. God wants you to have victory. John wants you to have victory. Hey, you can have victory. You can know you have eternal life. You can know because you've got a great witness inside of you that tells you so. Is that not what he said? He said, we believe that record. We believe that. He said, but we've got the witness in ourselves. It is the witness of the Holy Spirit. Paul said when writing to the Romans in Romans chapter number 8, verse 15 and 16, he said, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby ye cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You know what Paul was saying? He was saying there is one inside of you that is the great witness that you are his son, and he testifies to your soul that you are truly saved. Amen. You know how I know I'm saved? I know I'm saved because the witness of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's right. When I do something I shouldn't do, the Holy Ghost steps up inside of me and says, really? That's what you did? And I start feeling bad for it. Hey, sometimes when I come to church, somebody sings one of those songs of Zion. God, the Holy Ghost gets to move, and he jumps up inside of me and he starts fluttering around and I get excited in my soul. That is the witness of the Holy Spirit. Hey, that is him testifying that I am his. Amen. Amen. Hey, every once in a while, I'll be just minding my own business and God will tap me on the shoulder and he'll tell me something to do. Amen. He'll give me some instructions. He'll tell me somebody to pray for. He'll say, why don't you tell them about me? Why don't you witness to them? Why don't you say something about me right here? Why don't you pray for them? They're struggling. Hey, I'm telling you, friend, I have the witness in myself that I am God's son. Hey, watch this now. Not only do I have the witness of the Holy Ghost, but John says you've got the witness of the Word of God that you're saved. It's right there in verse number 13. John said, these things have I written unto you. The witness of the Word of God is undoubtedly the greatest witness that you can have that you're truly saved. Amen. You say, how's that the greatest witness? Well, I'll be honest with you. Y'all don't think less of me when I say this. But there are some days I don't feel anything. Some days I feel the Holy Ghost. He rejoices. He reproves. He gives instruction. Some days are just normal old days and I don't feel anything. Now, I know some of y'all are more spiritual than me. And you don't go through days like that, but I do. In fact, some days aren't the best of days. And instead of rejoicing, I feel like going Chuck Norris on somebody. You have those days. Some days you have bad days and you feel like crying instead of shouting. And some days, many days, you just don't feel anything. But you know what I have even on those days that I don't feel anything? I have the witness of God's Word. God's Word never changes. Jesus said, forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. Hey, can I remind you of that verse I gave you a minute ago in Romans 3:4? Yet God forbid, let God be true and every man a liar. You know what that means? That means I've got to let His record hold true and I've got to think everybody else a liar, including myself. Because if I'm not careful, I'll lie to myself. Amen. That's right, friend. When writing to Titus, Paul began by saying in Titus chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Paul said in verse 1, he said, I've got faith that I am saved because I have acknowledged the truth. What's the truth? It's God's Word. He said in verse 2, I have hope of eternal life because God said so and God cannot lie. Amen. If God said He'd give you eternal life, then don't you think He'd keep His Word? I believe the record of salvation. Number 3. Y'all ought to be shouting. I've lost half of you. I can feel it. I can see it. I'll get you back here in just a minute. I'm coming back around. I'll grab you on the way back through. Number 3. I not only believe the record of God's Son, I believe the record of salvation. Number 3, I believe the record of successful prayer. I believe the record of successful prayer. Verse number 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And we know that He heareth us. Whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. Not only can we know Jesus is who He said He was, not only can we know that we are His and He is ours, but John said we can know that God hears us, and we can know that He answers our prayers. In fact, He uses this word in verse 14. He used the word confidence. That word confidence in verse 14 means to have freedom of speech is what it means. It means that we can have the freedom to come before God and tell God all of our needs because we know that He hears us when we pray. Amen. Did you know God hears you when you pray? God does. God does. God does. He's promised to hear you when you pray. I know what somebody's thinking. Somebody's thinking, well, preacher, I'm not sure if my prayer's being heard. Well, let me ask you 4 questions. Let me ask you this, number 1. If you're not sure your prayer's being heard, is there any unconfessed sin in your life? Oh, because Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Let me ask you this, number 2, is there anything between you and another Christian? Because according to Matthew 6, 23, 24, 25, if you've got anything between another brother or sister, God's not going to hear you when you pray. Let me ask you this, number three. Is there problems at home? Is there something between you and your spouse? Because according to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 through verse 7, you got to make it right with mama and you got to make it right with daddy before you can talk to God. Oh, yeah. Let me ask you this, number four. Are you praying according to the will of God? You see, John said in verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. George Mueller, that great prayer warrior, that great Christian of yesterday, George Mueller said, prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance, it is laying hold on God's willingness. Robert Law one time said, prayer is a mighty instrument, not for getting man's will done in heaven, but for getting God's will done on earth. You see, you should be praying according to God's will. You say, well, preacher, how can I know I'm praying according to God's will? Well, first of all, let me say, sometimes you don't know. And so you have to pray as Jesus taught us to pray in that model prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, show me what your will is about this. But let me say this. You can know you're praying according to God's will if you know you're praying according to the pages of the Word of God. Because God's will and God's Word always run parallel to each other. God's Word never goes one direction and God's will goes another direction. It never happens that way. If you're praying something that does not line up with the pages of this Bible, can I give you a suggestion? Stop wasting your time. I got zero amens on that. You know what that tells me? That tells me I need to say it again. If you are praying something that does not line up with this Bible, stop wasting your time. God's not going to go against His Word to answer your prayer. Never. Never. But you know, there's some things right in here that I know are God's will that I can pray about. That's right. I know I can pray about. God said, I'm not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I can pray that a sinner gets saved. Amen? The Bible says, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I can pray that God provides my needs. It's right here. It's right here. And on it goes. Hey, I'm telling you, friend, we can know that God answers our prayers. A few weeks ago, I started asking the church to help me pray about a request in my life. I told you it was about a possible job opportunity. A job may be opened up, and I wasn't sure what God's will was on the matter. I prayed for weeks about it, and you all helped me pray, and I appreciate that. And eventually, toward the end of the prayer, I began to pray this. God, if it's not your will, I don't even want them to offer me the job. Amen. Now, you understand, I'd already been promised the job. I'd already been told it was a done deal. The guy that was doing the hiring already made a commitment to hire me. But I start praying, God, if it's not your will, I don't want them to offer me the job in the last few days. Got a call this week. And said, we thought we was going to be able to offer you that job, but we're not going to be able to. Now, wait a minute. You say, did that disappoint you? Did that upset you? No. You know what I took that as? I took it as answered prayer. Yeah. I said, God, if it's not right, I don't want it. And God said, well, it's not right. And He shut the door. Yeah. Amen. Amen. That's right, friend. Hey, God hears us when we call out to Him. I believe the record of successful prayer. Yes. Amen. Number four, I believe the record of sin. Number four, I believe the record of sin. Verse 16, if any man see a brother sin, a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and it shall be given him for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say you shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin. And there is a sin not unto death. And we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. And that witness, that wicked one toucheth him not. In the midst of this section of assurance, John assures us that the devil would love to lead us into sin. The devil lied to Eve to get her to sin. The devil tempted Christ to try to get him to sin. He caused physical and emotional pain in Job's life to try to get him to sin. He brought pride in the life of David and caused him to sin. And if the devil would lie and tempt and hurt and bring up pride to get all these people to sin, don't you think he'd do the same to you? But think about this. With all these weapons formed against us, how can we succeed? We can succeed because we have one inside of us that is able to deliver us from sin. You don't have to live in sin. You realize that, don't you? Jesus told Peter right before crucifixion in Luke 22, 31 and 32. He said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have thee that he may sift thee as wheat. But in the next verse he said, but I have prayed for thee. You know what he said? He said, Simon, Satan wants you. He's after you. But I'm on your side. And can I say that Satan wants you? And Satan is after you. He's after your home. He's after your family. He's after your relationship with God. He's after your testimony. Satan wants every one of you. But you do not have to give in to him because God is on your side. Amen. Amen. Verse 4, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. Think about this. Satan can't even attack you without permission. You remember how Satan went before God and God gave him permission to attack Job. You remember that? First time Satan went, God said two conditions. Big boy, number one, you can't touch his soul. You can't kill him. Number two, you can't touch his flesh. And he took everything that he had and Job wouldn't curse God. Satan went back to him again and said, everything will a man give in for his flesh. He said, skin for skin. He said, let me touch his body and he'll curse you. And God said, okay, go ahead. And he put boils on him from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. If Satan has to get permission to come against you, don't you think that if God's going to allow him to do that, he's also going to at the same time give you the strength to overcome him? You don't have to give in to sin. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10, 13, there is no temptation taken you such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. But with every temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. God will provide your need in the face of sin. And then he even promised us in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, verse number 2, that if you do sin, he's made a way for you to have your sins forgiven. Just ask him and he'll wash you white as snow. There's one living inside of us that can't sin, chapter 3, verse 9, and therefore we have what we need to be successful. Now, John tells us something interesting here, and I'll move on, I'll finish. John says, if we see a brother or sister sin, and it's not a sin unto death, we need to call the other Christians in the church and tell them all about it because we saw it. No? If we see another brother or sister sin, we need to whisper about them behind their back. Look down our nose at them. Think negatively of them. Let them know that we're more spiritual than they are. You know what he said to do? He said, you pray for them. If you see a brother or sister sin, you pray for them. You're going to need somebody to pray for you one day. He said, now if it's a sin unto death, no sense praying for them. Now I don't claim to know all this, all there is about the sin unto death. Some people believe it's one sin. I don't think so. It could be any number of things. Nadab and Abihu died because they offered strange fire. Korah died because he opposed God and God's man. Achan died because he took possessions that he wasn't supposed to take. Uzzah died because he touched the ark. Ananias and Sapphira died because they lied to the Holy Ghost. The believers in Corinth were dying because they were abusing the Lord's Supper. I don't know what it is, but I know this. I know if you're a believer and you're living in sin, God will only let you get so far. And there's a line drawn in the sand, friend, and when you step over that line, there's no turning back from there. That great preacher of yesterday, Dr. J. Harold Smith, would preach on God's three deadlines. I recommend you listen to that sometime. He said there was the sin unto death. Dr. Smith said that any time he'd ever known anybody to make a sin unto death, commit the sin unto death, I think he said it was within 24 hours that person died. They crossed over God's deadline. John said, don't pray for them. But we ought to pray for each other. I believe the record of sin, number five, I'm out of here. I believe the record of service. I believe the record of service. Verse 20, and you know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son Jesus Christ. And this is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. John finishes by saying, we've come into a relationship with the one who is true. Notice the train of thought. We know that Jesus is God's Son. We know that that belief gives us eternal life. We know that we have some assurances of prayer, assurances of deliverance from sin. And because of all of that, verse 21, we should stay away from idols. Now, we don't worship many idols today, but I don't think I'm changing the text to say it this way. You know that Jesus is the Son of God. Your belief in Jesus gives you eternal life. Therefore, you should serve Him to the best of your ability. Know that. God wants you to serve Him. While we close our Bibles, while we bow our heads, while we begin to pray, let me ask you a question this morning. Do you have the witness in yourself that you are God's Son, that you are the sons and the daughters of God? I believe you can know that you're saved. I don't believe that God will open up heaven and an audible voice speak and say, you are saved. I wish that could happen, but that's not the way it works. Instead, He gives a still small voice inside that says, you are saved. I've got the witness inside. I've got the witness of His Word. But let me ask you, are you saved? Do you believe the record of God's Son? Have you ever, in faith, called out to God and said, God, I believe You? If you're here this morning and you're not saved, can I invite you to come? I want to invite you to come to this altar. Let us take a Bible and pray with you. Today is a good day to be saved. Today's the best day I can think of to be saved. For the Bible says, behold, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. If you've never been saved this morning, I ask you to come at this time and we'll pray for you. Maybe there's something in your life. Maybe you need deliverance of sin. Maybe there's something you've been praying about and you want to come trust God with it this morning. Whatever your need is, while we wait for just a moment, if there's somebody that needs to pray, I'm going to invite you to come at this time.